This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, October 18th, 2021. Interesting start to the week after a strong close on Friday for equities. We have yields higher, we have energy higher, and we have risk sentiment a little bit off to start the week. It's me, John Hardy, all by my lonesome today, so stick with me. It's going to be a pretty quick one today, but we do have quite a bit to get through here. I want to follow up on something I covered on Friday that I thought was interesting at the time. It turned out to be quite a fizzle, and what I'm referring to here is this University of Michigan sentiment survey, and in particular, the inflation expectations component, where I worked up a bit of interest on the Friday podcast talking about the mean expectations relative to the median. So, of course, the mean expectations will be heavily affected by some portion, even if it's a relatively small portion, seeing their, you know, their sense of where inflation is going, coming a bit unglued relative to the rest of the group and being surveyed, which had dragged that mean expectation quite high. But after a 3.8% reading in September, this suddenly dove very steeply back to 3.3%. So for now, at least, that mean expectation story is suddenly non-existent after looking quite interesting, especially on the August and September readings. And then even the median dropped as well. So we were at 3%, which has been a big long-term level all the way back to 2011, which was posted in September. And we saw a reading of 2.8% for this October inflation's expectation for the median. So, you know, quite a damp squib, to say the least, there after what I thought could be an interesting data point. Doesn't matter. We'll all take it into stride and see what happens next. Let's look at where we are technically on the S&P 500, et cetera. You can see on slide 2 in today's slide deck, and you'll notice the absence of our equity theme baskets today. Unfortunately, Bloomberg and Microsoft Office have an extreme history of not being compatible, and the Bloomberg plugin failed. So my apologies for that, but the frustrations on the technical side with Bloomberg sometimes vis-a-vis Office, just overwhelming. But also one key thing to note is that some of these, this whole cluster of bubble stocks, Tesla, crypto, all doing quite well with that big Friday close in crypto, and Tesla even accelerating beyond recent price action ahead of its earnings report later this week. So interesting to follow that relative to where especially yields are going. But look at the broader market here on slide 2, S&P 500. So we had that strong Friday close. We're back a little bit. Nothing to worry about here until we start working back below something like the 4,400 to 4,420 area, a key resistance level on the way up. And then the 21-day moving average is a bit below that, although I think it would be rising to sort of coincide with that area as well, once if we were supposed to start working down towards there. I think one of the key tests for this market will be if these U.S. yields and energy prices continue higher. As I mentioned at the top of the show, oil prices hitting new cycle highs, both for the West Texas Intermediate and for Brent. But look at where we are yield-wise, slide 3, and we're seeing a considerable yield curve flattening here, pretty impressively so, with this latest surge, especially the belly, front end of the curve and into the belly at a 5-year, hitting above 115 basis points overnight after closing at a cycle high on last week. The 10-year sort of inching back towards that recent local high, and then you can see the 30-year. This is suggesting that long-term yields are not coming unseated by what's going on with inflation, commodity prices rising, perhaps some growth outlook component to that longer end, seeing, you know, stickier yields and having a hard time seeing yields coming up. We also saw those very strong treasury auctions last week. So I still think it's very interesting to follow these yields, however, as they become a source or quickly sort of dominate what is going on across markets, especially if that 10-year area starts coming unglued from recent highs and we start to see a spike higher in yields. All right, one of the key, couple of key things happening overnight to start the week, and some of the reason behind the weak sentiment certainly was the Chinese growth data. No big surprise here. We know that there's a big deceleration going on because of the constraints in China's productive sector needs to shut down some key industries around power shortages and coal supply concerns, et cetera. But just seeing it crystallize, I guess, at the margin, seeing a bit of sentiment impact overnight. So we saw the GDP out for Q3 coming in at 0.2% quarter on quarter. That's very low. I mean, if we're talking about, if we're sort of saying that we're getting post the whole collapse and bounce back from the pandemic, this is a level that's extremely low. Historically, these were running always consistently around 1.5% or better. But we still need a couple of quarters, of course, to get over these pandemic results. But that's a very, very low reading. That was relative to much higher expected. I don't have the expected number on hand here. But the 4.9% year on year was also slightly below expectations. And then in the mix of sort of the latest monthly data, which was also out around the time of this release, retail sales beating expectations solidly at over 4% year on year, while industrial production disappointed. And then perhaps even more interesting, especially for a reaction in the market, as you can see on slide four, we had a New Zealand CPI release, and they only release their data quarterly. So it's always a big deal when we get these and when they're a big surprise. And so for the Q3 data point, we had a rise of some 2.2%, 2.2% quarter on quarter, 4.9% year on year, much hotter than expected. So 1.5% quarter on quarter was expected. And the previous quarter, it was 3.3 year on year. So we're talking about a big acceleration here. The market rushing to price in potential for a 50 basis point hike at that November RBNZ meeting, as we're seeing the hottest inflation reading in New Zealand in over 10 years. Look on slide four. Again, you have the Kiwi dollar chart on the left, and then you have the two-year swap rates in New Zealand on the right. And that last bar is a weekly bar. So all of that rise there happening overnight, because, of course, we're only one day into the week as we're pricing in more RBNZ tightening. I think, yes, you can be bullish Kiwi, but I think risk sentiment will be a key portion of the market reacting to these yield rises, as I'll get to in a moment, the microcosm of UK rates. But look at that Kiwi dollar chart. You can see the recent cluster of highs above 71 were beaten back, and now we're back to the 200-day moving average, which was rejected overnight as the dollar found a bit of a bid with this weak risk sentiment overnight. I would say a key local little resistance level for that particular cross. And you're seeing Aussie Kiwi tumbling as the rate differentials at the front end of the curve are diving to new lows for the cycle. Now, as I just hinted at, it's very interesting to say, look at what's going on over the weekend as well, with some comments out of the ECB and the Bank of England, somewhat contrasting with ECB's Lagarde, still talking of the transitory case with the caveat that she's keeping an eye on these next rounds of wage talks, et cetera, to see if there's any kind of second round effects starting to come into view. The Bank of England's Governor Bailey was a bit more, a bit more hawkish sounding, to say the least, saying at these inflation levels, we will quote unquote have to act. Although, if you read the full set of comments, he also said that central banks don't really have the tools to deal with supply chain constraints, and they still see these inflation levels as temporary. So it doesn't matter. What matters is the market reaction. Well, actually, it does matter if the market reaction is a little bit unfair relative to what was said. But all of the things being equal, we saw a new surge higher in UK short rates, as we're all anticipating that the Bank of England is supposed to be moving before the end of the year, whether in November or December. And I wanted to show you that it's, a Bank of England signaling and rises at the front end of the curve and rate expectations don't always move the currency when other factors are at play. So I put up a chart here on slide five showing in blue, that's those two-year UK rates. It's not a spread, but it is just the rate. You see the big accelerations you're seeing in Bank of England expectations. And there's not a lot of correlation with, for example, something like sterling versus the dollar, where I put up just to show what I think is moving this pair, and that is the risk sentiment. So you see the S&P in black, and you can see how dominant it is, especially over the last couple of weeks. So you could argue that this more hawkish Bank of England has helped support this seeming reversal here in sterling versus the dollar, as we've broken back above this sort of 136 to 136.50 area. But my argument was if we start to lurch into a sell-off again and risk sentiment on fears for the global outlook, et cetera, suddenly sterling could be in a very different place, especially versus the U.S. dollar. So just keep that in mind. Sure, it's supportive for the currency, all other things being equal, but sometimes those other things are not equal. And then just looking at what has been moving and shaking in the FX market, two of the big movers have been the Japanese yen, of course, to the downside as yields have risen. Also, with Japan's need to import all its commodities, this is the negative. There's also the new government coming on board soon. which is seen as not yen positive. And then we have on the other side, you know, ripping crude oil prices, supporting oil-linked currencies like the Canadian dollar and the Norwegian krona. So you can set those two together, as I did on slide six, and look at something like Noki yen, so the Norwegian krona versus the Japanese yen. And I'm certainly not saying that this is set to stop, but just the pace, the blistering pace of this advance is just something is extremely remarkable and extremely stretched. And I find it something very interesting to see if we can sustain this kind of price action when you're seeing a 10% advance, 10% plus advance in a currency pair in the space of less than 2 months, as you can see on the chart there. And then look at the trend readings on the right there. It's very, very rare you get anything approaching 10 like you're seeing at the moment in the Japanese yen downside. Really remarkable stuff. And if we don't see continued highs, new highs in both energy and yields, for example, this at some point, I think this becomes unsustainable. And whatever the price action does reverse, it could be quite climactic. Okay, obviously pretty heavy on the FX today, but we can't neglect to mention equities this week. With earnings season really getting into full swing, I suppose next week is the very biggest of weeks, but certainly plenty to look at this week. As you can see on the overview, some highlights I put on slide seven for some of the companies reporting. And obviously a lot of focus will be on the big names like Netflix tomorrow, Tesla on Wednesday, ASML and Intel on the chip side on Wednesday and Thursday. There's even a Lam Research out on Wednesday as well. But also, it'd be very interesting to watch some of these companies like Procter & Gamble dealing very much, obviously, in the physical world and how they're seeing their ability to pass on prices and any price pressures they're seeing on the input side, and then how they're dealing with that on the output side and in terms of passing along those costs. I think I tweeted out this morning an article. If I neglected to, I'll try to remember to do so, looking at European industrial companies that for now are passing along their prices, but talking about the next cycle could be simply demand destruction because of these price rises. And I think that really is the critical thing here. We're getting at levels, especially in Europe with the natural gas and power prices, where the risk of a recession is actually rising rapidly with these types of, with the risk of demand destruction from these types of price rises. And then on the macro calendar this week, a fairly thin week, especially for the U.S. relative to what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. But we do have a couple of bits and pieces, and I would especially highlight for anybody trading Central and Eastern European countries, Poland and its CPI number, core CPI number out today. That real rate, very interesting, heading into the November meeting and what they decide there. And whatever U.S. data we have this week is mostly today with that industrial production data point for September today. And then the best leading housing market indicator with the NAHB housing market index. This is an index that peaked out even much higher than it is right now in recent months. But even if we get a reading as expected around 75, that's pretty much higher than it ever has been in its history prior to the crazy ramp we saw post-pandemic outbreak. And then the RBA meeting minutes, quite interesting for the developed markets' most dovish central bank, at least in terms of those that have the ability to eventually move rates. In other words, not looking at the likes of Bank of Japan or ECB. And then the rest of the week, Hungarian Central Bank rate decision. Very interesting for Eurohuff, the Hungarian forint, because that's poised at the highs of the range. They're interesting political situation there as there's a big challenger to Orban. I'll get to that in a future podcast, I suppose. And then on Wednesday, I think very interesting to look at the US Fed beige book as we get reports from the regional Feds. The regional Fed, Federal Reserve banks, and of course, these surveys talking to customers about what the pricing pressures, what they're most concerned about on the labor side, price input side, ability to pass on costs, all these things are quite interesting for a sort of an anecdotal basis for what's going on in the economy. And really, that just about rounds it out. We have the Eurozone flash October PMIs and then flash PMIs for the rest of the world as well on Friday. And we'll look forward to that as well. Okay, I think I'm just going to keep it a short one for today. I hope you found the update useful, the outlook for the week ahead. I think the energy is building towards something when you have these advances in yields and in energy prices and risk appetite for whatever reason is considering this a benign backdrop. Just something doesn't fit to me, something a bit of dissonance there, but we'll see how it turns out. I hope to have a guest on tomorrow, Stan Jakobsen, our CIO, for his latest thoughts on what is going on. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for a webinar from me tomorrow. I'll highlight that at the top of tomorrow's podcast. Stay safe out there. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.